Good evening and welcome to everyone. You are sitting in the Fire and Emergency Services Committee meeting for Tampa Park Community Services District, in case you didn't know. It is Tuesday, November 7. We are beginning at 5:30 p.m. here in the social room. And as we call the meeting to order, General Manager, would you take roll call, please?
Director Wolfson?
Present.
Director Easton?
Present. And General Manager, would you also make note for the recording record, other staff and guests who are here?
Let me see if I can get to everybody. We have Chief Richards and Chief Martin. Do you want me to go through the rest?
Sure.
Sure.
Why not?
We have very important community member Barbara. Oh. And we have very important community member Brad.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
We have Chief Cordero. We have Chief Johnson. And we have the gentleman I met, whose name that is not imprinted on my brain yet. But he's a deputy chief, right? Did I? Yes.
From Melrose Hills,
Okay.
All right.
So how's that?
Just want to acknowledge our friends in the room tonight. Thank you for all for being here. All right. On to the other business. Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. All right, we move now to the adoption of the agenda. Do we have any questions, comments, or motions?
Move to adopt the agenda.
I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Adopt tonight's agenda and approval of the conformed agenda. So we had a chance to look that over. Were there any adjustments, Director Wilson?
Anything.
Okay. I'll move to approve the conformed agenda.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
There you go. Move now to open forum, where members of the public may speak on any item that's not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Seeing we have some members of the public here, do we have anybody who wishes to address the committee for open forum? All right, seeing we have another member of the community who's just come in, I'll make sure you're aware we're in open forum right now. If you have an item you wish to address the committee with that's not on the agenda. Seeing none, we will close open forum and move now to department matters. We'll start with number one, which is a report. Let me get this here, sorry.
It's on the back of this one.
Oh, there you go.
That's
right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, report from Chief Martin. This is regarding the decommission of surplus fire engine 389. So, Chief Martin, Chief Richards, why don't you start us off with a summary for that?
Yeah. So, we talked about this a little bit briefly at the last Fire and Emergency Services, and I'm bringing it back to here. So, engine 389 is one of our current Type 3 engines. 22 years old, which surprisingly for 22 years, pretty low mileage at 81,000. But if we look at NFPA standards, we look at our master plan from 2015, it states that we need to decommission this. We're a couple years over decommission for the apparatus. One of the challenges that we have seen is the increased amount of maintenance. Going from last year to this year. Last year we were at 1,800 in maintenance, pretty low maintenance, and so far in this fiscal year we're at just shy of $8,500 in maintenance. One of the challenges with the Model 14, that's one of the first generation Model 14s, you cannot get parts for it anymore. It's been out of service for about 8 months now. We're still waiting on one part. The last part to repair the pump had to be handmade by, we had to source it out and have someone make the part because you can't find it anymore. Parts aren't readily available for it. And with the lack of use and the rising cost of maintenance, our recommendation is to take it to the board for decommission and put it up through the CSD's surplus process. We have already signed an agreement to purchase an engine behind it. We will continue to have maintenance with it. It did not get rented out this year. The year prior, while it was being rented out, broke down, took 2.5 weeks to get parts and get it back in service. And that was 2.5 weeks of lost revenue there. So our recommendation moving forward is to decommission it for surplus and run one Type 3 engine in the district until the new one arrives.
Okay. All right. Thank you. It was a good report. A lot of the good information we needed on that. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Director Wilson, do you have some questions to start us off?
What is the risk of only having one Type 3 engine?
So I think for moving forward, the one Type 3 engine will serve our needs. The advantage of it is with the Cal Fire contract is that it is our only revenue source or only bit of money that's been put into capital asset funding for the fire service is coming out of the rental income. So when we do have busier times and we can rent both of them out, that's where you see that $200,000, $300,000 rental income. You have one, you're going to cut that in half.
And when is the engine that was ordered behind it scheduled to come in?
Well, I think we're still probably 2 years out.
I think so too. Maybe 18 months now, but yeah, it's going to. I haven't heard any activity on that.
No.
I can actually imagine.
So I think the follow-up question to that is, what impact, not simply on rental income, but on service to the district itself, having only one Type 3 versus the two? How much are they in use now to service the district, and what would taking one off?
I think you see the more, the greater use of it is with our mutual aid system. In Cameron Park, for an initial wildland fire, you're going to get Engine 89 and Engine 88. We spec'd out both of those engines to be good fire engines to work within the wildland urban interface. They have a shorter wheelbase, great departure and approach angles on them, so they can function in there, and the guys are on them, they're going to take that first in. Where we see it being used throughout the county is when we get some of those larger fires, they'll move out of Engine 89 or Engine 88 into the Type 3 as part of the mutual aid response when we get a larger going wildland fire. But on the initial attack, it's going to be Engine 88 and Engine 89 within the district.
So it sounds like not much impact within the immediate service to our district. It's
correct.
Mutual aid outside.
Correct.
Okay. One of the things that you brought up in this was about the increase in maintenance costs. Mm-hmm. So part of the question becomes, okay, so the maintenance cost goes up, but if we decommission it, there is no rental income at all. So even if the maintenance costs go up, we don't have any income. So how do you see that balancing out versus, all right, so we pay another $8,000, but we get $80,000, $90,000 in rental income.
So with the engine being at the year that it is, 22 years old, and the unreliability with it, I think you have a much less chance of receiving rental income on that engine than you do on our other engine, 388, that is the current standard that Cal Fire runs, same equipment, same setup, it's very plug and play. The other thing that makes us worry is the reliability of it. So we run it out, then it breaks, now we gotta go get it fixed. What's the reliability of it? So I think you're not gonna see much deficit because the likelihood of renting that engine out specifically, that would be the last one that we would rent out.
Okay. Because just in the comparison we've got for this year, the report from Chief Richards, so far we've actually spent more on 388 this year than we have 389. But there's probably reason behind that. I don't know if that's out of the order.
388 did get rented out this year.
Right. But we have spent more on maintenance for it. And so explain that. I mean, is there a particular thing that you know of on 388?
Well, 388's been in service bulk of the time, so it is getting used. 389 for 8 months has been out of service, so it's been
but still close to the same maintenance cost because
yeah.
Okay. That's the clarification also. Thank you.
And a lot of 388's maintenance costs are preventative maintenance, or 389 is breaking down
and repair
maintenance. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have any other questions at this point, unless you have any other follow-ups. I'll open up for public comment. Any questions or comments from the public regarding staff's recommendation here? Okay. Hearing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back to committee. So the recommended action here, obviously this is something that has to be decided at the board level, so the discussion is here and then forward to the board. Any comments on that? Yeah, it seems the weight of this isn't simply rental income, but it's reliability of the equipment itself. And if it's not going to be relied upon to be rented, then yeah. We don't have any sense, I don't know if it's, worth asking. Yeah, yeah. What are we going to get for it? What's the surplus market like on an engine that we don't want to keep around? I know there's agencies that'll
take it. Hit and miss. It's got to go through surplus and go to auction. So mm-hmm. It's really what someone's willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. An engine that I worked on 7 years ago, I just found on Facebook that was up for $16,000, and it was an old Cal Fire engine. They bought it out of auction here, and it's sitting on the East Coast, and they put that engine up, and that was frontline at El Dorado Station while I was a captain there. So same model of an engine as this, and now it's a private party trying to sell it. So I can't really give you a gauge of what that is and what the taste really is.
Okay. You said that 389 is it's still in the shop at this point?
So we have to get one more part for it, and then we have to go test the pump and make sure it passes pump test. And then it'll be back in service.
Okay.
So are you going to do the repair if we decide to decommission it, whether we do or we don't?
Yeah, the part's already on order. So we've already paid for it. Yeah. The last thing would be doing a pump test, which we do in-house. We don't have to send that out to make sure it still meets standards. And then we would put it, our recommendation would be at that point to put it up for auction.
And I'm assuming you couldn't unless it was all functional?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we're just waiting for that part installation. And then if the board chooses, we can put it out at that point. Okay. All right, there doesn't seem to be any other discussion on that at this point, so we'll move this forward. General Manager, if we can put that on the board agenda for next time, bring that up for discussion.
Okay, to put that on consent.
Yeah, let's put that on consent.
Okay.
And I'll just ask fire staff, you'll probably get some of the similar questions. Mm-hmm. Just probably want to prep that.
Yep.
Cost versus what we get, and if we can rent it, and why we wouldn't, and all that. That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. All right, so with that, now we move to staff reports. This is number 2, department report for July 2023. Chief Richards.
All right, so we'll start with just incident totals. Disclaimer here, so there was a time gap between Fire Emergency Services Committee, so this time frame is from September 28th to November 2nd. Previous month, I believe it was less than 30 days. This is gonna be over 30 days, so you're gonna see increases and decreases over the monthly averages that are gonna show differences that are not captured, so statistics, you'll add some time frames here. So September of 2023, so our last month report, 218 calls, and then October, during this time frame, 268, an increase of 22%. With one vegetation fire, one structured fire, 11 miscellaneous, 10 traffic collisions, 204 medical emergencies, 3 hazardous conditions, and 38 public assists. Last October, 376, this year, 268, so a pretty large decrease. And then the year-to-date totals are a decrease of 16.5%, down from 3,058 to 2,555. We have your maintenance broken down by apparatus. It's updated for a total of $30,950.49, including the 388, 389 that was updated along with my Time 2705 pickup.
If I can interject a quick question, I just wanted to talk on the data
on
incident and count comparatives. It's a significant decrease both month to month and year to year. One of the things we've talked about over the last couple of years is just how our fire staff is feeling and doing with the load and increase. Are you seeing this decrease percentage in how they're doing and how staff is doing?
To be honest with you, because we're looking at here the engine data, but we're not talking about the ambulance data.
Mm-hmm.
And so our staff are being 5 short right now and stopping the ambulance for another week. They're still feeling pretty beat up.
Okay.
I think we'll start to see that change in the months following, but right now they're still working a lot of overtime and still getting beat up on the medicine.
Okay. I want to make sure that we're aware of that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry for the interruption. Go and continue.
Rental income, no updates there. The last income we brought in was an OES task force pre-position. Moving down to operations and admin report. The only thing we got on here, so on October 10th, Engine 88 Medic 89 were dispatched to a reported person with chest pain. Upon arrival, they found a 45-year-old male that was unconscious. They immediately initiated CPR and ACLS interventions and requested a second engine. The patient received defibrillations 3 times, and they had a change in cardiac rhythm. They gave the appropriate medications, and the patient had a return of spontaneous circulation at scene. And the patient was transferred to the gurney. They took the CO3 transport down to Mercy Folsom, and the patient was breathing on their own and had a pulse when they left the hospital. So pretty noteworthy. The response time at Station 88 was pretty close to this address, so they were able to initiate ALS interventions at a pretty fast rate. So pretty good story, and I think it's noteworthy with life-saving measures.
Real quick before you move on, Cal.
Yep.
The flip side to this is the highs and lows that our personnel go through. This crew on Medic 89, went from that call, got back to the station, got cleaned up. Their next call they were dispatched to was a pediatric cardiac arrest. So they went from here being riding a high where they had a good save and to the next call being a pediatric cardiac arrest that they worked with Engine 28. And so it's part of that ebb and flow and the highs and lows of being in the emergency response where you have a really successful positive outcome and then the next call just kind of kicks you in the teeth and it was not as successful as the first one. So it's just kind of those it's highs and lows that the crews are dealing with.
And then we did, that happened at about midnight. We put a after action critical incident stress debriefing together that was about 2 a.m. with all the engine companies, the ambulance that were involved in that call, brought the dispatcher down to the station along with the engine companies and went through critical incident stress debriefing with some of our partners have at El Dorado County Fire, came down from another fire station that have critical incident stress debriefing training and experience through their employee support services program, and we're able to help with that. So a really good piece there that kind of helps digest that critical call that just happened.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Yep.
Moving on to fire prevention report. So
before we step in that, just want to do the procedure. Any comments or questions coming out of the report? And anything from public follow-up on that? We have a question, yes.
Brad, my assumption is the success of the very first call would have been mitigated had 88 been closed. Am I not correct? With a delay in response times, it might have not had CPR started within the appropriate period of time.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a judgment, I realize, but I'm just saying that's one of those unintended consequences of shutting a fire station down.
Yeah, Brad, I don't think you're wrong at all. Right, the best definitive care is getting first responders to there as close as we can, and if 88 was not there, and I have to be really careful with saying not staffed because they could be on another call or somewhere else in the district, but had they not been in quarters and available at that moment in time, we could have had a different outcome because we had ALS there very quickly. If they weren't there, then we would be relying on either Rescue Fire Department, Station 89 coming across, or 28 or 86 would be our next two engines into that. So. Yeah, I think it played, it was a huge factor because they were in quarters, but I'm just very cautious because of our mutual aid system and everything we have, They could have not been in quarters at that moment, and it had been another engine responding.
Yeah, we can't always assume in every incident that it would have been the same. They might have been on a different call.
Correct. But having them in quarters was a huge benefit to that patient.
Thank you for the question. Any other comments or questions from public?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have real basic questions. Because I don't understand how the paramedic system works here in this county. But I understand that this agency canceled the contract with the JPA, which I've just learned about in the last few months, because I had no idea how any of this works until then. And then as a result, there's going to be movement or a lack of a paramedic team here in Cameron Park. Is that correct?
No. So both of the fire engines are staffed with paramedics.
Okay.
So yes, we had an ambulance out of Station 89. But our system is built on movement and system status management, and Medic 89 can be out of the station for a whole 24-hour period of time.
Okay.
But based off of a prioritization that we've looked at, based off of data and call volume and that, we'll move the ambulances around. El Dorado County only has 8 ambulances currently in the system.
The whole county?
The whole West Slope.
The West Slope, okay.
East Slope's got 3 ambulances that they staff, but they don't come over. Routinely, we have Folsom Fire Department with their ambulance in the county.
Okay.
The district has chosen to cancel the contract with the JPA.
And what does that mean? I mean, sorry, but I'm, as a member of public, this is thoroughly confusing.
So,
I'm not blaming anybody. I don't understand it.
Want me to take a stab at that?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to put all the pressure on you.
I'm sorry.
You're good. No. I got nothing but time.
And you can fill in what I miss.
Because I'm hearing a wonderful story, at least the first story, of and I've read it before I came to the meeting, and I was frankly in tears because chances are that's going to be me one of these days. And so I'm really, really conscious and aware of the fact that I'm going to need an ambulance probably in the next 10 years.
So that's the
joy of having paramedics on the fire engines, because those folks can do everything that the ambulance can do except for drive you to the hospital.
So we
can perform all the same care inside your residence. Even if our ambulance is coming from Folsom or from Pollock Pines, you're still getting the same care.
Okay.
They have a 20-minute on scene time for that call. The engine arrived, and they're performing resuscitation efforts for 10 to 20 minutes, generally, and something like that.
Right.
So it buys them time. That's why we have the ALS engines.
Okay.
So our engines will respond with paramedics. The ambulance system is a County West Slope contract, and so the agency has determined where they're located. They contract with different fire agencies to place those. We've been doing that here for
37
years.
Okay.
But we are not required to as an agency.
Okay.
The county is required to provide it, and so then they contract with the different fire districts and different agencies to place those ambulances in stations or other locations. We canceled our contract primarily because we had reached the point where the cost of doing it was going to be greater than what we would receive in compensation from the JPA. In prior years...
Why does the JPA give you money?
Because that's on your tax bill. there is a line there that you pay into the JPA, and so the county uses that money to fund the service, the ambulance service. All the different ambulances across the county are funded by that assessment, by that tax.
It's the county's responsibility.
Right. The county is responsible
for
that.
Whether the contract is with Cameron Park or with El Dorado Hills or whoever, the JPA actually reimburses for it. And our problem was that it was costing us more than they were reimbursing us. So even though we canceled the contract, that ambulance still exists, just not right here in Cameron Park.
And that's the difference.
That's the difference. And most of us...
You get the paramedic service through the fire.
Correct. That's always existed.
And is that true whether it's CAL FIRE or another agency?
Yeah, most of the time, yes. Most agencies will have that. Some of the smaller might not.
Along 50 corridor.
Okay.
Yes, along 50 corridor.
Okay. That's standard on the corridor.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I can understand the others.
El Dorado County Fire, all of their engines are ALS, all of El Dorado Hills. Mm-hmm. CAL FIRE, Diamond Springs, Okay. But as you get to like Mosquito, they don't have Pioneer in the south.
I understand that.
Yeah.
They don't have Garden Valley is part time, and Georgetown is hit and miss. So.
And it's worth clarifying that the ambulance service, it wasn't to serve Cameron Park. It was to serve El Dorado County.
Right,
now it's located here, but as the chief said, it could be in any number of locations at any given time.
Okay.
So Cameron Park helped house that, and up until this last year, the funds we received were equal to what we put out. So there wasn't a cost to the district.
Okay.
Once it hit 100, 200,000 more, and even before the year before that, it was a little more, and particularly in the position we're in now as a district, just financially, we couldn't put out the extra $200,000 to do that. The service still exists, it's just now located
That's
in the
helpful,
place.
Thank you. To a member of public, this
yeah.
is
yeah, it can,
thoroughly confusing. I mean, I'm a lawyer, and this is not totally foreign to me, but this stuff is... God!
Yes, it is.
Complicated.
It
so we can make it very simple for you.
Yeah.
On next Wednesday, Medicaid 89 will be shut down, and then Medicaid 86 will come on at 8 o'clock. So the JBA went through an RFP via Bass Lake Road.
Okay.
But it's still part of the move up and cover system. Our ambulances are on the road more than most other places around the state when we look at our unit hour utilization and the time frames they're on the road. And surely because we only have 8 ambulances in the county.
Is there any talk about changing that?
There is talk about that. But once again, that comes with the dollar
price tag.
Cents.
Yeah.
And so the JPA is looking at it right now to try and add a 9th ambulance.
We've got a lot of old people up here.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's just, you know,
yeah.
It makes sense.
And that's a discussion with the JPA and at the county level. I mean, the local municipalities can...
We encourage you to come to the JPA board meetings.
I tried to actually get to one of them, and I got lost over in that center because one of the doors was locked. But
that wasn't a JPA meeting.
Was that a LAFCO meeting? Or was
LAFCO,
you
know, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
God.
She couldn't find her way in the government. So I'll take it.
That's okay.
I'll take you next time.
Yeah, please do.
But you all are
LAFCO and GPA. Anyway, thank
more
you.
Than welcome.
Thanks for taking the time.
You're very welcome. Glad to
That's
always explain.
Helpful.
When somebody's interested, we want to share.
Well, like I said, I have a personal interest in this.
Well, I'd rather get accurate information.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but as I said, the public has got no clue.
No.
Okay.
Don't disagree with me.
Don't disagree with that at all. Any other questions or comments from the public? Yes.
Julia Cunningham, Cameron Park. I saw 88 twice last month. One incident was at the end of our street. Very big and exciting, you know. I actually believe that may have been the October 10th incident. And the other one was I saw 88, engine 88, and rescues ambulance over at a house over in Rescue, and the fast response time and the amount of power you guys have is just absolutely amazing to me. All of them, absolutely amazing. I mean, you guys were it was boom 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 boom. It was just complete consistency. It flowed like our neighbors were all out, and we were just like, what happened? Like, they were here, and then they were gone, and everything just, like, transpired so smoothly, and I have to say mad props to Cal Fire for just being on their game and being ready to go, and, you know, it was really nice because, you know, I do live in a house that is close to Station 88, and it's really nice to know that the response time right there is really fast, and these guys come off and they know exactly what they're doing. And, you know, my husband's a medic captain for Cal Fire over in Pescadero, and he is the same kind of deal. It's a widespread space with, you know, you've got people all over the place and a lot of elderly, and a lot of the majority of their calls are medicals, and I really, really appreciate everything that these guys do for the fact that they may have, 10 calls in a row and they may not see bed until 7 a.m. So I really, just mad props to you guys, all fire departments, and especially you guys, and I know it's hard, and I know it's it's a lot, but you know, you really are appreciated, and we care a lot about you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And under 3 minutes. Any other comments or questions from public on this item? Okay, seeing none. We'll finish that. Now we can move to item number, staff report number 3. So this is fire prevention update. Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Hey, put on the hat. There you go.
So prevention report, light report this month. So we have our inspection hours violations and corrected violation count, 16-36-28. We're in the mix of recruiting an administrative assistant permit technician. This is going to aid in a lot of that, the public contact of making the phone calls, emails to the station, and requesting inspections, how the process works. So a lot of times if I'm out of the office on a call or off duty, we'll have someone there that can answer questions, provide forms, information, walk people through the permit process, set inspection request dates, things like that, help with the administrative billing, and kind of be a coordinator between the CSD, myself, my office, and then our consulting that's doing our plan review and plans examining. And according to the billing department, be able to look up permit billing department information online, business inspection portals, stuff like that. So we're really excited about that. I think, Jill, did you want to, anything else on it? Or?
She should start Monday.
Okay. So I have a question on that, and that's please. Just staffing. How does that fit in the structure? Is this a Cal Fire employee? This is...
District employee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then the follow-up question, we're looking at outsourcing the fire prevention specialist piece into that. So how does this fit? Because is this an existing position? Have we created it? Normally they have to exist within the org chart before we hire, I believe.
So the board had approved a full-time fire prevention specialist. We've actually underfilled that with an administrative assistant to help with the clerking position. So it's so we simply underfilled the position and with a part-time person.
Okay. So how does that fit then with the contracting?
So part of that, right, was we were going to go out to CSG, kind of see mm-hmm. what the workload really was. And some of that, what we found is we were missing some parts. Yes, they were going out and they could do an immense amount of inspections for us. But on the backside, we had nobody to deal with the billing, deal with the processing, the general public being able to come in and physically speak to someone and navigate the process. So what we found out of the initial push with CSG is we were lacking in some of that abilities to meet the needs of our customers. And so we met with Jill and we're gonna hire a part-time employee that we think can fit the need on a part-time basis versus having someone full-time. As we get into weed abatement season, then that person can also assist with the weed abatement. And then we also have the part-time inspector that'll come on. So we think we can meet the need with a part-time employee, see how it works. If mm-hmm. if there's enough work, then we can just increase that. And Jill and Callan met with her. We're going to try it out on a part-time basis. And then she may help with CSD stuff on other days that she's not in the fire station.
So track it, the county system. So it's really, it's this position keeps Chief Richards in his battalion chief duties mm-hmm. rather than trying to coordinate between customers and the consultant and our finance office, the accounts payable and receivable side of managing these contracts. Mm-hmm. So.
And I understand the function. I don't disagree with that. I support it. For me, it's more a question of
how do we get there?
Well, how do we get there, and how does it fit it and record it within the organizational chart? Because if there isn't a position, we need to create it, and that needs to get approved. And if it falls under a general administrative assistant, I think we have some of that. Right. But if this is a permit technician, which is a little more specialized.
This is an administrative assistant too, which is a higher level. We use that position, and that position has actually been used in the past for our part-time weed abatement folks.
Okay.
So it's consistent with past practice when we had support for the fire marshal with an admin person, and there was a position existing, we just underfilled it. When we go back to the board in January, we've got a mid-year budget review. Mm-hmm. At that point, we will have enough time with CSG to say, yes, this is working, no, it's not working. Okay. Partly what CSG is being funded with is a savings in that full-time position. We didn't hire that full-time position, right, in part because we were contracting out. So it is somewhat of an experiment, but you know, it's right now, we're going to test it out, and then we'll report back to the board in January. Yes, this worked. We want to make these budget adjustments. It's a fee-based program. Or no, it didn't work, and we're going to go in this other direction.
Okay. So the hope in this is still that in the scope of that that fire position, CSD position, it funds the consultant as well as this part-time administrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of a cost shift where CSG doesn't have the authority to approve permits online or collect billing for us and things like that, right? And so they don't have, we're not going to be paying them to do it, but it's built into our fees for our admin assistant. We'll be performing that, so there'll be recovery. That money paid to CSG will be paid for her position.
Okay.
That makes sense.
And how is the pace of that going in terms of what they're able to do to then fill this and keep that going? Because it sounds like there would be a big push to try and get as much done, back off, realizing we need that kind of bridge position in this administrative assistance, so we back off on the inspections, et cetera, to find the equilibrium?
Yeah, just to find a workflow so we're not, you know, drinking from a fire hose, right? So we can kind of say, okay, hey, this person is going to take plane intake. They're going to check X, Y, Z. They're then going to send that off. They're going to record it in our tracking system, which currently is Excel. Use that, then they're kind of managing that project as it's going through. If I'm gone on fire or on vacation, there's 10-day lapse where they're, you know, CSG's like, hey, we can't approve your permit, we don't do billing, you know, we're just doing the inspection piece or the plan review piece, so it kind of bridges that gap.
Okay.
And when CSG bills us, she's the one that has the evidence of what has taken place, permits that have been issued and things like that. So she is really a hub there, you know, for that. Also, I believe Chief Richards is planning to come back in December. He is taking a look at those fire marshal fees to make sure that it is covering all of our cost.
Okay. Yeah, I think that comes up a little further in our future committee meetings. Okay. I just want a clarification on how that fits in. Any questions? Okay. Open up for public comment or questions on item number 3. Seeing shaking heads and no response, I'm bringing it back to committee. Thank you. Anything else to add for the report? No? All right. Thank you for that. All right. So now we move to items for future committee agendas. We have a couple listed here. A little discussion on both of those. So the first one is the 5-year facility maintenance and repairs, and we've talked about that prior. So the hope is that will come back in December. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Have you guys been connected with our Browning Reserve? And I mean, I know you guys have the fire department master plan.
Trying to decipher the Browning Reserve.
Yeah, I know. It's quite, it's like, oh yeah. Oh, it's like
300 pages?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Like that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's a pretty detailed report.
Yes, it is. Okay, so we'll hopefully see that in December. Recognize there's a lot of other things also on the plate. The second piece then, the fire marshal fees.
Yeah, so the last time we had the fees, a fee study and a fee
adjustment
was in early 2020, I think late 2019 was when it was initiated.
Mm.
Looked at kind of the metrics that they used as far as, you know, the cost of employees, fuel, things like that. Looked in there were some things kind of missing, not really accounted for. Part of the use of the building, part of the use of utilities, looking, really diving deep into, you know, how much time in the fire department are we doing those prevention activities and getting that hourly rate and kind of putting that together.
Yeah.
And just with the cost of inflation compensation of employees has gone up.
Right.
And so that needs to be reevaluated. We'll be looking at that in the next couple months and putting together new fees to bring back to you guys to look at. And then looking at, you know, incorporating the cost of that permit technician, inspection hours, what things actually cost, how much time it takes us to do these inspections, and trying to capture that. The way it's our current fee schedule is everything's hourly. A lot of the fee studies that are done in our neighboring fire districts are by what type of inspection
by task,
and the hours are kind of built into that, so they're not an hourly rate. It's broken down, you know, inspection on a fourplex versus, you know, an 8-unit apartment complex versus a hotel. They're all different because it takes different time. There's different forms you have to fill out. There's different reporting requirements. So putting all of that kind of together to try to revamp, to really accurately recover the cost that it's really impacting the department to provide.
Great. So, yeah, I think 3 years is long enough to wait. Especially these 3 years. Great. Anything to add to that? Okay. So that's items for future committee agendas. One thing that I would add to that, and that becomes a question in Matters to and From, is the SAFER grants. And we know that that's going to take some time, but would love to even just hear semi-regular report back of, haven't heard anything yet, partly just to keep it on radar here. I was talking with Chief Martin. One of the things I'm recognizing, we're coming to the end of a year, there will be potentially new committee appointments next year, and so I want to make sure that the things we've been working on stay on the radar for potential new committee members who might not be as familiar with it. So just want to build that into our structure. So whether it doesn't have to be every month necessarily, but I would love to see every other month or something, every quarter, check in.
Just add it to this.
Yeah,
staff report.
And if it can be as simple as we check, still says not awarded. But that keeps it on the radar and keeps the committees and the board aware, which
Absolutely.
I think is really important, because
that
was a big part of our discussion early in the year with all the things we're discovering, but I want to make sure that...
Sorry.
Okay.
Barbara wants a plumber.
All right.
I can't get all of my sound off. You can turn the volume, but then you got to turn that down.
Yeah. All right. So items to take to the board of directors, that was going to be the recommendation report on decommissioning surplus fire engine 389. So that we'll move that next time. It'll be on consent, and we'll prep board ahead of time on that. Any other items? I don't think there was.
Nope.
Nothing? Okay. So then matters to and from committee members and staff. I'll defer to you first.
Was there an update on the ad hoc committee that you could share at this point?
Sure. Simple update on that is we have scheduled additional 2x2s with Eldorado Hills Fire and Eldorado County Fire. We met with Eldorado Hills Fire last Friday, and we'll be meeting with County Fire Thursday morning for follow-up. It was good and a little overdue as we moved through the process. Questions come up with both neighboring agencies and us, things to clarify, to ask questions. We have a little more data now to bring to the discussion. So we'll be meeting with County Fire on Thursday to further talk through those pieces. And we're waiting on the AP Triton report. We're January?
I would say, yeah, after the first of the year.
After the first of the year.
But we're expecting. And the data load is complete and has been completed. They are working to compile the report. I've been in a couple of meetings just asking clarifying questions and things like that. The district is, taking a look at, taxes that are generated in our district. At what rate do we generate those taxes? What are our percentages and things like that? So we're nailing that down.
Yeah. One of the things we're finding in it is that we're getting a lot more clarity on our taxes and what we collect and what it's for and where it's from. Even recognizing, gosh, there should be more here.
There should be more there.
There should be more here. So I'm grateful for that part of the process, too. And staff is also, of course, in conversations with county, with LAFCO, just to continue that discussion, to continue to get clarification on what we need so that we're prepared when those steps come. So continuing ongoing discussions in preparation for that report coming, so we're ready to hit the ground running when that gets to us.
That was it.
Okay. There's a lot
that
of
that.
That
was enough.
No, that's enough. In matters to and from for me, I was going to ask our chiefs to tell us about the ceremony that's going to be happening. That's going to be Wednesday.
Yeah, so Wednesday morning, we put it out to a lot of the folks that have worked on Medic 89 over the last 30 some odd years to come to Station 89. For us, all the way up to our director of our department, spent a number of years on Medic 89. So we put it out. It's kind of a little bit of a going away. Obviously, 37 years of service of Cameron Park and then Cal Fire staff and the ambulance. So hopefully have some, sounds like we should have a pretty good turnout from a lot of folks that have come through Cameron Park over the years. And we even got reached out to folks that are working all the way up in Humboldt and that are going to try and make it and come down. So have, you know, just a little bit of reminiscence with the folks there and coffee and that first thing in the morning before it officially goes out of service at 8 o'clock in the morning.
So anybody that wants to come and be a part of that is good. It's worth recognizing that. That's good. I'm assuming because next month is December, hard to say that, almost the end of the year, I'm assuming that there are some plans in the works.
8th, 9th, and 10th.
Ah, wonderful. I'm looking forward to
coming.
I have to ask. Say those dates again.
December 8th, 9th, and 10th.
All right.
Yeah. Santa's coming to Cameron Park.
Lights a-blazing.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for that, gentlemen.
Hopefully the weather will cooperate.
All right. Anything else from staff?
No.
I think we covered that. Okay. So with that, we come to the end of our meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn? I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We adjourn at 6:18 p.m. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your presence and your contributions tonight. Thank you.